All right, I want you to turn with me over to the book of Galatians. Paul, in preaching to the Galatians, on one occasion said, "Who hath deceived you?" Or, that is, he asked who had caused the problem with the Galatian people. "Who hath bewitched you," he said, "that ye should not obey the truth? You, Christ, having been evidently set forth before you, you saw him crucified." And he said, "Having begun in the Spirit, are you so foolish as to think that now you can be made perfect by the flesh?" I read to you the other day how that the Bible says, "I speak to men, to those that are perfect," Paul said. And we spoke of that as to going on to perfection, and where the Bible speaks of God having sanctified us and perfected us forever. So, this morning I thought, since we had a number of ministers here, that I might just minister myself. A lot of times I don't know which way to go with that unless the Lord speaks to me. And I want to read, first of all, concerning this in the book of Galatians. There's the third, fourth, fifth, at least the third, fourth, and fifth. Could add the sixth, but at least the third, fourth, and fifth. Not long chapters, but things that are very, very outstanding concerning Paul's preaching to the Galatian people. It says in chapter 3, the first verse, it says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you." I didn't know I was going to read that, but it was right there before me. "This is only what I learn of you. Receive ye the spirit of the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture have concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, and that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, and ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit, then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected. But receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondsmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth in Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that beareth not. Bring forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you, though through the Lord, that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his own judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. But as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. See how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hands. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised only, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have thee circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. But as many as walk according to this rule, peace on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now, I read quite a bit. That's reading the whole four chapters. I just felt like that I should do that. One of the reasons is because it is here that Paul has had a dispute with Peter. Peter being a chief leader, having the keys to the kingdom. And yet here Paul is having a dispute with Peter, to let us know that the things concerning the Jews was fixing to go out and the things concerning the Gentiles was fixing to come in. That is to say that as the gospel was committed to Peter, to the Jews, Paul said it has also been committed to me, to the Gentiles, and being our overseer. Here he said, I blame Peter to his face because Peter is to be blamed. in that Peter was fellowshipping the Christian people and those that were saved by faith, until some of them came down from one of the brothers' homes there, or come over from another place. And then when they come, Peter got afraid. He began to withdraw, and he went back to the circumcision. And Paul spoke of this as availing nothing, that it was only a type. That is to say, if you really check it out, it's what the Bible calls the token. In the Old Testament, it gives a token. And if you'll check out the token that God gave them, this was the separation as to the token. It has great spiritual significance. And I brought it out to some of the different ones. But here, Peter is cut off, so to speak. And the whole thing changes, and a new era is opened up. And a new thing is opened up. And as history gives it, we find that Peter, being crucified upside down, shows the fall and the casting out of Lucifer, in that it was just exactly that way as to the natural side of it. And Paul showing the spiritual side as to the Christ. Even as Jesus went to Calvary, Peter did the same things that Jesus did. He walked on the water. He raised the dead. He carried that side. And having been cast out, in that Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savest the things that be of the flesh and not of God." Showing this, we brought it out in Revelation, how that this was a derivative that reached as far back as Babylon, of Babylon, and the time of the Gentiles, and how that it connected with the papacy as mystery Babylon over to Rome, and went all down through the church ages, and even went so far that reached even to little Bethlehem, of what happened here concerning a priesthood at little Bethlehem. And of course we say present day truth of those things which you don't find written in the book or written in history, the things that are revealed from heaven. Paul said, "Now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God." Even this heavenly treasure that we have in these earthen vessels, it's made known from heaven. That means that we have not the Bible to preach a lesson from. I can preach a lesson from here. I can take what I read here, and I can preach to you about the occurrence of Peter and Paul and these kind of things. And I can tell you these things, and I can shout with you, and we can have a good time, because that is part of it. Paul said, "I'm a preacher and a teacher." But still beyond preaching and beyond teaching, there is what is called the revelation of Jesus Christ that is revealed to them that God has called. Whereas he says in one place, it is time to reward, speaks from Revelation, and rewarding his apostles. He said, the apostles, he calls them holy apostles and prophets. And when it speaks of the word of God, it says as to whom this was revealed as unto his holy apostles and prophets. Now there are men that are holy. They are holy, they are godly. They're not just like other men. It's like you meet a sheriff and this sheriff has the badge. He's not just like other men. There's men under him. Some of them are policemen, but even they are not equal to the sheriff. And some are under them. And there are people in the world that have special places in God that we are to honor. I am to give honor to them. You know, if I meet them, I'm supposed to honor them, because they belong to the Lord. And the Bible said, honor the brotherhood. But then there are others, the Bible says, give double honor unto them, because they are laborers in the gospel. And the Bible said that we're to esteem all men as according to the word of God. But these that labor in the Lord, the Bible said that we are to esteem them very highly for their work's sake. And we are to render unto all of their needs, because these men are holy people. There are holy people. There are good people in the world. There are the friends of the bridegroom. There are the children that moan in the bride chamber. And there are many great and mighty people in the world. There are sons and daughters of God. There are people that are in the church. These people are good people. They are God people. The Bible speaks of a man, said he was a good man. Even the people testified, said he built us a synagogue. And there are good people in the world. There are good people. There are fine, upright people. But they are not considered the holy people when it comes to holy apostles and prophets. The Bible speaks of adding holiness to your experience and adding godliness to your experience and all these great and mighty things to your experience. There are people that are holy, they are godly, they are God's holy apostles and prophets. And God reveals to them certain things. This is something that he's got in the earth. He has these people in the earth as watchmen on the wall so that they can make the connection with God to guide the people. Just like in the upper rims of the echelon of this world, and when we look at the dignitaries of Washington, there is great, mighty senators. There are governors. There are all kinds of people. There is the president who is head and shoulders above all of them because he has the last say in the world. See, he is considered that is in the celestial side of life, as to use a natural terms here, because we don't have any spiritual terminology. So as the scientist calls this world above a celestial, when we know that's not celestial, that the spiritual is celestial. But anyway, they are dignitaries. They're in the great upper place of life. See, and there are men that are of great rank that come down under them, on right down to our little sheriff up here. Now, I said that to say this, so it is in God's world, so it is among God's people. There are those, as it was in the days of Moses, a captain of 50, a captain of 100, and on and on and on. There are people like that in our day. So these are God people. These are holy people. These are people that God has set there, like in the world, as to a natural type, the president, whatever, to watch over you and to make the way for you in things that you don't know anything about in science and in the political world, that they make the way for you and you just cast in your vote. See, but they have the responsibility of all of these things. And because they have the responsibility of all these things, then they're greatly rewarded. They have great salaries when you don't have that kind of salary. And yet in the world, you can make money. In the world, you can have your business. See, in the world, you can excel. But it is a true fact that the church world as a whole, they have a right to speak, to prophesy. The gifts are among them. But when it comes to the church, just the church in general, they are not considered the holy apostles and prophets of Almighty God. So then you say, but Brother Pike, they're sons of God. They're far above a prophet and an apostle. You said that. I know I said that. And that's true. If you want to look back at the Old Testament, John, none greater than John, and yet he that is least in the body of Christ as a membership of the body of Almighty God is greater than John, because we're living in the day of the fullness of time. So I brought that out, how that they, under the old law, under the Old Testament, the Bible said, and they could not be made perfect without us. They looked forward to the fullness of time because they couldn't be made perfect without us. You have the right to prophesy, even over here in our day. You have the right to do these things, but they are holy apostles and prophets that they can communicate with God. They can communicate with God. And in this, then things happen. I don't claim to be anything less than nothing and just a help of your faith. But it's like I told somebody the other day. I said, even the words that I speak come to pass fast. And they do. And even as the vision that I had where this great being entered into me when I spoke concerning the bridge. And the bridge today is no more. Now the great new bridge is there. And as I spoke to somebody, it was day before yesterday, I believe. I told them I'd been giving them a little counsel. They wanted to counsel with me, or had wanted to counsel with me in the past. I'd counseled with them some, and I felt to counsel with them there. And I said, now, I want to tell you something. I said, the Lord has been dealing with you for a long time, and he has blessed you for a long time. And he's given you all kinds of things. He's helped you, really blessed you, and took care of you. I said, and I've even prayed for you from time to time that God would help you. I said, but he spoke to me, and he showed me some things, and he spoke to me, and I come to tell you something. I said, I want you to listen real careful to what I say. I said, I want you to listen to it like if you was before a judge, and a judge was judging you, because that's what we are in the earth. Judges are just a type of the ministry. So I said, I want you to listen to this. For this reason, I said, everything that judge says will have power, and what he says will come to pass. And what he says, I said, it has to do with your life, your freedom, and whatever. I said, now I'm going to say this to you, and the first thing I want to tell you is God said to me, this is the last warning he'd give you, that from here on out it'd be judgment upon you. And that this judgment would come, it would just come immediately, I pointed out, and that it's going to happen to you now. Listen real careful to what I say. Incorporate it within your life because it's going to happen to you. And I said, it will start now and it will continue on and get worse and worse and worse. I said, but this is the last warning. I said, not another warning that's coming. I said, this is the last warning. So the individual, of course, went out that night, and of course, things happened. His car was totaled out, and things happened, bruises and beats and bangs, and things happened that when they came back, they were all tore up. I said, I tried to explain to you. See, I said that to say this. Many times we spoke that way as to people in prison, people that had wrecks, people that are in the graves. We spoke that way to numbers of people that are here. There's numbers of people sitting right here looking at me that's got bruises and beats and have been beaten. They've been banged up. They've been in wrecks. The little ones have been hurt. All kind of things that have happened to you because you didn't listen. And now you have a chance to listen. You have a chance to listen. I could go into this morning, as I said, and I could preach to you. It's so beautiful. I've ministered to you numbers of times concerning this grace and the law, the different things, and your liberties in God. But I wanted to say this morning in a different way, as to exhort you a little bit. First of all, though we are justified by faith, and there is nothing, not anything required of us to have salvation. Not anything. Not one deed that you can do. Not even your repentance. Someone would say, well, I've got to do something. I know that something is required of me, Brother Pike. Not even your repentance is required of you, that you have this. This was given to you and this was given to me before the world ever was in Christ. By foreknowledge, through predestination. I tell you again and again that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God does not give you spiritual gifts by repentance or by fasting or by praying or trying to make yourself an apostle or a prophet or a son of God or whatever. He doesn't give anything like that. All of these things are without repentance. Predestination is the way. Eternal life is by foreknowledge. And God has given this unto every one of us without respect to person in the foreknowledge through the predestination of his Son as unto the good works of Jesus Christ, and we are complete in him. And what God wanted me to be, he made Jesus Christ to be that in his sight. And what he wanted to give me, he gave it to me through Jesus Christ, in that he had to give it to the Lord Jesus, that Christ through his mercy might give it to me. For Jesus alone was holy and godly. He alone was without sin. And the promise was made unto Abraham, not as unto seeds of many, but he said, Isaac, which is the promised son, which son came by the promise that God gave you, Abraham, pointing to the Lord Jesus, that through him all nations would be blessed. And of course, through Isaac, all nations are to be blessed. Because of the seed of Isaac comes Jacob. And from him the 12 patriarchs, and of them the head of the nation, that they might be a blessing to all nations in the time to come. But here we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one. I say this so often. I go back to this and I say this, that we see that in the days of Noah, 8 people. And then we see as to the next great siege down in Sodom and Gomorrah, 4 people. And then we see as the next great thing as to the crossing of the Jordan and the next great siege as to the destroying of the walls of Jericho, we see 2 people. It's broke down in halves in every move of God. And then the next thing that we see at Calvary, there is not even any that pertaineth to the flesh allowed. God rends the veil, lays away the flesh altogether, even the image of the Son. As to that which he came in for my sake, wouldn't even allow it to be there, rent the veil in two, raised Jesus in a spiritual body. He was made a quickening spirit, raised him up with another form, and said, hear ye him. Not even Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration could compete with him. When they said, we'll build three tabernacles, he said, those days are over. Said, just hear ye him. The promise is as unto one and not as unto many. Just one. So finally it was narrowed down to there was just one, and that was Jesus. Abraham don't have any inheritance. Not one of them under the law could be made perfect without the coming of this one great image. Not one of them, even with all that they did, everything that they done, even John the Baptist, the great, none greater among women, that showed the closing out of the law, and God said, it is as nothing to me. Moses and Elijah, as nothing to me. He that is least in the kingdom of God as the body member of this body, he is one of an inheritance, and he is greater. So I have no inheritance, you have no inheritance, no one ever had an inheritance except Jesus Christ. And the Bible said he is heir to the glory of God. He alone was made heir to the glory of God. So if he alone was made heir to the glory of God, then we understand why the Bible emphatically states that it is Christ within you, the hope of that glory. Because there is no one else that was ever made heir to that glory. Though Moses and Elijah appeared in that glory with him, yet it is a true fact that no one is an heir except him. And unless we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, we will not be heir to the kingdom of God. We must be that one body, that one mind on the day of Pentecost, that one. That's why I preach to the brethren that God doesn't have a half a dozen churches. He doesn't have a half a dozen moves of God. He only has one, and that is in Christ Jesus. That begins with Calvary as that great stone, that headstone, that prism, that king crying, grace, grace. At when the light of God hit that through that ceiling of those seven seals on the back of that book, that light, the refraction of that light brought those seven church ages as to breaking down his wonderful, beautiful covenant to us as to the attributes of God, that it might be given to us by measure in every age as to every church age messenger. That at the end of this world, that one great light in which he alone dwells, that light might be brought back together as a sevenfold light in the end time to translate the church. Jesus standing in the midst of the candlesticks. The Bible said he was standing in the midst of the seven candlesticks. It makes it obvious to me that at the beginning it was Paul, and yet not Paul but Christ, that set forth the seven church ages as to establishing those churches. And now down through the ages, the church age messenger, in that God had broke in every age a new portion of light. Not a new light, but a new portion of light as to the refraction of that great headstone. And that in that age, the characteristics of it is denoted as to the colors of the rainbow, as to whatever that age is. It's also seen when the seals is open. In that in the seals, it's horses, but they're always a different color. So we see that God has allowed this coming down through the church ages, and then at the end of the church ages, there's Paul again, standing in the midst of the candlesticks. At first, it's Peter as to the death, and Paul bringing it over to the Christ side, going up to the capstone as to the third heaven. And then teaching these things as the wise master builder to build this new city of New Jerusalem, even the lively stones down through the ages as an overseer, in that up here this is the all-seeing eye. And all down through the church ages, here he is building this, and it is Paul's message. And Paul's message was one thing, and that was the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this revelation of Jesus Christ has come all down through the ages. And here we are in the end time when gross darkness is covering the people as to their intellectual concept at the time that the church light is ready to be taken out. And the church itself is compounding itself with all of the teachings of the church age messengers, bringing them together again into one thing, and that was Paul again as the Christ standing in the midst of the candlesticks, and yet not Paul as the natural, but Christ himself standing there. And it was with this that a voice was said to John, "Come up hither." I said that to say this. We can see the change of this with Peter and Paul at the dispute, and here concerning the bewitching with the Galatians. So, when we look at this great light, it means that if I am to have an inheritance, I must be part of the light. I must dwell in the light. He alone dwells in that light. It's not seeing a Father, seeing a Holy Ghost, or seeing a son. It's not that at all. It's seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified body, because the glory of that body is the Holy Ghost within and without. The glory of the lamp is to this light that I'm looking at. I look at that bulb, and the glory of that bulb is the illumination. And that illumination is from within, the mechanism as to the filament on the inside. Jesus said to the Jews, "The kingdom of God cometh not by observation," said, "but it is within a man." If you have this kingdom of God, you have a measure. And the measure of that is Christ the Spirit. Because there's but one kingdom of God, that's the Holy Spirit. That is Christ the Spirit. God hath never at any time in any way ever personified himself in anything except through Christ and from Christ, a tree as to branches. And so then we are but branches. He said, "I'm the vine, ye are the branches." And as long as you abide within the vine, he said, you can bring forth much fruit. But if you are cut off, you don't bring forth any fruit. Men gather these to throw them into the fire or cast them into the fire. So it's very obvious that we are in the light. If you dwell in the light. For the Bible said, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus shall cleanse you from all of your sins and iniquity. I walk in the light. We sing the song, "Walk in the light. Walk in the light. The dewdrops of mercy so bright. Walk in the light." And if we walk in the light, and someone would say, "Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike?" I mean that the eyes of my understanding has been enlightened, and the eyes of my understanding now see. I see. I understand. I once was blind, but now I see. I see. I see through eyes of understanding. I know now that God is not a human body, that God is a spirit. He is a great light, which means knowledge. Light means great understanding. And I know now that he is not a human body, that he is a light. He is a spirit. And that Jesus Christ alone, dwelling in that light as a human body, has declared the Heavenly Father. For God is a declaration. And that means that with this lamp or with this bulb, the glory of that illumination that's coming out of that bulb glorifies the bulb, and as to the strength of the light, it glorifies a portion as to an area that people can dwell in. Whatever your measure is, whatever my measure is, Christ Jesus' measure was God within a human body without measure. There was no measure. It was God, that God never does anything outside of that body. He never receives anything except through that body. There's not one thing that you can ever get to as pertaining to God or godliness except through that body, as through the blood, the shed blood, as through that body. He is heir alone of the glory of God. So then we dwell in the glory, which means we dwell in the light. And the glory on the inside of us, moving us from glory to glory, which means understanding to understanding, unveiled thought to unveiled thought, as to the mind of Christ, or illumination to illumination. I am completely from within side swallowed up by new birth, having been translated into the marvelous kingdom of his glory. And my spirit, which would be like a vapor, as to make a comparison, has gone into this great cloud of glory. And I am now one, interwoven with the glory of his greatness, my inner man. And I can never sin again. Never again. I can never sin again. It's impossible for me to sin. So then I pass from death unto life, because if I can't sin, I can't die. Because the sting of death is sin. So I passed from this death unto life, and now I am eternally alive forevermore. I now have access to eternal youth. I have access to eternal life. I have access to eternal knowledge. I have access to eternal riches. There is nothing anymore that can touch me that's unholy. For the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. So never, never can he touch me. He hath never touched me. There's never been a time, and even from the foreknowledge of God down to this time, that he's ever touched me. Never one time he's ever touched me. And God has sent forth his Son to plead our cause, to prove the justification of our godliness, of our holiness, of our righteousness, that we are part of that light. And that we are part of the Son of God. That the Son of God never did sin. There never was nothing. Never any time in his life that he ever done wrong. And we are part of that light. And because of that, corruption cannot hold us. The powers of death cannot hold us. Hell cannot hold us. We are free by the body of Jesus. And what he done in that he has made us. We are his offsprings of his own blood. We are his kindred. And so then we are dwelling in the light. I walk in the light. I have fellowship with the membership of the body of Christ. I cannot fellowship the world because darkness and light hath no fellowship. And they are in intellectual darkness from the tree of knowledge. But I am in the light from the tree of life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. I'm walking in the light. I'm one with the great body of the Lord Jesus. I've been baptized into this great body of membership by one spirit, even the spirit of life that runs through the trunk of the tree as into the branches, so are we. As in Jesus there is life, I am a branch, and the same life, I'm grafted into that tree, and in that branch is the same life that is in that vine, as we say. So then I am in the light. I am one with the Heavenly Father. And I am in the light. I dwell in the light. That's why I understand. For the wicked shall not understand. They shall not see us. To their eyes of understanding, they shall not see when good cometh. Because the god of this world, even Lucifer, has blinded their eyes that they should not see. But I am in the light. My spirit is one interwoven with that wonderful cloud. We sing that song, God put a rainbow in my cloud. And so then his spirit is within me. Royal blood flows through my veins, and I am now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I now have the mind of Christ. And as to the measure that I submit myself to, that's what I have. The Bible said I'm complete in him if there's anything lacking. But the thing is, according to whatever I want, the Bible said, let us go on to a full reward, or God hath dealt unto every man the measure, or whatever our measure might be. So I said all of that to say this morning, that we are in the light. You are not children of the darkness, that day should come upon you unawares. The Bible said, as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth. But you're children of light, and you know when it's not, even at the door, even the way that we've been preaching and talking and fellowshipping, and you've been testifying. See, it's nigh at the door. We are the children of light. It doesn't matter if somebody criticizes us and finds fault with us and mocks us. I look over there at them and I think, Lord, the poor little old fella, isn't he even out of his diaper? He's over there just messing his diaper up, you know, and he's telling somebody, do you know about Brother Pike, and do you know about them people out at Bethlehem? And I think the poor little fellow, what he needs is some mother, somebody to go over there, some father to go over there and help him clean his diaper and help him get straightened out. I don't feel bad at him. See, you are children of light. You are walking in the light. They think they know, and they're so sure they understand all of this, and they do understand things, just like a little baby understands things. Jesus said a lot of things to say to you. You can't bear these things. And then he said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. That is, you should have the spirit of revelation, for these things are revealed to babes, such as are willing to learn. And we have these things revealed to us. It's by revelation. Paul had the revelation. The refraction of that light brought the breakdown of the great, wonderful revelation, proportionally in measure as to whoever could receive it in their generation. But we're living in the fullness of time. See, the reason I say that, the Bible said that in the fullness of time, which was Calvary, that God sent forth his Son. This Son was made of a woman, was made under the law, that he should gather all things in heaven, in earth,
and under the earth wherever into the body. And so that was the fullness of time. That was the end of time. That's why we sing this song, Time Shall Be No More. That was the end of time. See, and Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And then the church ages set in. As to the refraction of light where God would deal with you, because that was the end of the world. That means that God had fully ended everything concerning the world. Everything that was before Calvary was now at an end. The law folded up and laid away. And them that did not get translated into the kingdom of God, going right on past Calvary, but they all were dead in the sight of God. The ark, God gathered in the dove, the Holy Spirit, as to the children of God. And the raven, as to the crow, God gathering in all of the world out there as to the devil, into the body, by making him in the image of sin, even your sin. And so then, with the raven, in went the raven. The creeping things, even the devils and the demons. Because out there, when grace went to the world, when he took away the sins of the world as to give grace to put it on the seat of atonement, out there, it was out there in that world that those demons went into people because of grace and mercy, and were able to go as in the days of Job before God Almighty there. And as it is, as we look at it, these people, these demons, can actually plead for mercy. And they said to Jesus, have you come to torment us before our time? We have a certain time. You know, that is, there's a time of grace. And those devils and demons all gathered within the body of the Lord Jesus as to that which was sinful, and God smiting it as the serpent and taking it down into the bellies and the chambers of hell, resurrecting that which was spiritual. So then it's very obvious that when Calvary came, the dove had to stay in the ark, as we say. Though the rain was ceasing, yet he couldn't find the lodging place. The great, lovely Holy Spirit. You know that the Holy Spirit went out of the body of Jesus, but it wasn't but a few days following. He plucked that leaf of life from the tree of knowledge. Life was now established. He come right back into the body of Jesus at Pentecost. Come right back. And he's been there ever since. And Aaron has been in the tabernacle of your body officiating. Until that time, we brought these things out on tape. And here, that dove has stayed there. It hasn't attempted to go out. It has stayed there. But that old raven called Lucifer, when he got his freedom through the mercy of Calvary, the spilt blood, he's been out there with them old dead bodies floating around out there. The Bible likens people to waters, the old corrupt waters, and them people that were slain at Calvary that ended the world, that's floating around until God clears it up, until the waters subside off of the earth. He is out there picking and pecking like an old buzzard, lighting on one and then another, and still feeding. See, and I said that to say this, the fullness of time. God brought the fullness of time so that you and I don't have to have a book. We don't have to have a Bible. I don't have to have a Bible. It could burn this Bible. It could throw it in the ocean. See, because I am an epistle that's known and read of all men. And I am in the age of liberty, as to the liberty of the sons of God. And I am now come to the bar mitzvah, to where God is to make me ruler over all heaven and earth. We've been under tutors until this time, down through the church ages. But see, now we're coming to the fullness. See, the law to the Jews were as a tutor till they could come to Calvary. And when they come to Calvary, Calvary was the bar mitzvah. And Paul said, now has come the establishing of the faith. For all of this tutoring of the law was unto the faith. The faith of Jesus Christ, not your faith, but the faith which we contend for. Jesus said to Paul, turn my people from darkness to light unto the faith by which they're sanctified. Which faith is in me? So this faith that has established this thing and wrestled this thing out of the hand of God, as we say, and established it for you and I, this faith came at Calvary. So the law and the prophets, the tutors, was unto the faith. And now the faith has been preached, the law and the prophets till John. And since that time, the kingdom has been preached and men pressed their way into it. And the Bible said the kingdom of God is at hand. And we preach the kingdom of God. Repent ye and receive the kingdom of God, which is the measure of the Spirit of Christ as to whatever you have. So, freely come, freely receive. I said that to say this, and I'm going to close in just a minute or two here. Very obvious, if this be true, and it is a scriptural truth, it is very true that we are dwelling in the light. The bar mitzvah is here. It's here. Now, the only thing is, it was at Calvary, but no one could comprehend it. You know, it was just coming in, and only Jesus, as he instructed. Here we are born over here in this age. We couldn't have got it because we wasn't even born until this age. And in our age, when we come to Calvary, recognize Calvary, we're no more children of the world as in the flesh, as in bondage, as to the corruption of the flesh, as to the intellectual reasoning, as to trying to make our way in the world. We're not children of the bondage of the beggarly elements of the world, but we are dead to that, and now we're children on this side of Calvary as to those that dwell in heaven. Caught up to heaven at our birth, for the man-child was caught up immediately. We've been caught up. And the kingdom of God is within us, and we rule with a rod of iron, even the mind of Christ, even as a babe. But we come into our bar mitzvah as to the ruling, and moving on toward that great, wonderful recognition as to the change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, even the Thessalonian change. But brethren, why worry about the flesh? It profiteth nothing. It's dead. It's buried. The thing is, we're home. We're home now. We're home. We're home now. Like I saw a vision last night, and in this vision, Brother Taylor was there's a little disturbance as to whether he should move over on the hill where Joseph is. And Brother Taylor, he couldn't quite get it together that he should do that. And it's a little kind of a going and a coming in his decision. But I looked, and all of a sudden, it was morning, and it was beautifully springtime. It was so lovely, the springtime everywhere. And we had this place filled with beautiful honeysuckles. And the vines was just running over the hillside out there where Brother Hollis was putting some dirt yesterday. Just running over the hillside from Brother Morris's place. It's just beautiful. And I looked and the road was just closed off, Brother Taylor, with honeysuckles. The vines just run right on over the road, right on over here where we're at. Sister Betty and I are at down here. And they were big, beautiful honeysuckles. And it was just beautiful. And I thought, making conversation with you, I thought, well, Brother Taylor, this is it. You see? That proves it, Brother Taylor. You're supposed to be on the hill over there. So I thought that that was so beautiful. And I said that to say this. I wrote a song, and the song was, "The honeysuckles are blooming." The honeysuckles are blooming. Springtime, rich and rare, everywhere. The birds are singing in sweet harmony, you know? And something is happening in heaven. Something has happened in heaven. And now his glory is mine to share. And we went on as to say, and the veil of separation is rent in twain. There is no more suffering and sorrow or despair. For the voice of mercy is calling. The voice of mercy that's heard everywhere. So then we know that something has happened, even to the earthquake that has taken place over here, over in Russia. Something has taken place. That is to say, from Calvary, we're just now recognizing Calvary. And from Calvary, the end of the church ages. Now, we are God's children. We've been translated already, not to be. We've already been translated into the kingdom of God. We've already passed from death unto life. We're already to where we can't sin, for the evil one cannot touch us. See, for Messiah shall come, the angel said to Daniel, and make an end of sin. So he did. And today you have no sin. Your sins are gone. They're taken away. They'll never be there anymore. So then you can never die. You made it. You made it. You made it. So as they sing in the song, I made it. Now you can see then that you made it. I could go into a lot of these things, which we have some of them in the past. But I'm just telling you, we're children of light. We're not going to be children of light. How many of you feel like someday we'll be children of light? I don't have anybody here. I don't think I have anybody here like that. How many of you, everybody that believes that someday they're going to be a children of light, I'd like for you to raise your hand. Who said that? Brother Thomas, preacher, let's give the Lord a hand. I believe that too. The Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, Brother Thomas. Now are we the children of light. Isn't that right? Now, not only that, but Do we believe that we're going to become sons of God, or do we believe that we already are sons of God? Somebody tell me. He said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God? Isn't that right?
Already.
Now, am I preaching? I'm a preacher. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. Am I preaching that someday that you're going to pass from death unto life? What am I preaching? It's already happened. The writer said, I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Already having passed from death unto life. I'm just taking stock now. You know, when they teach in school, they go back and they have a review to see if you learned anything. All right, now, another thing is, if I pass from death unto life, am I ever going to come into condemnation? The Bible says, and they that have passed from death unto life shall never come into condemnation. Am I then going to pass one day from the flesh? Or have I already passed from the flesh? The Bible said we are not in the flesh. God has chosen us out of the flesh and hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restitution of all things. Now, can I come into the condemnation? The Bible said there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Somebody says, yeah, but you've got to remember, that's them that don't walk after the flesh. I know a whole bunch of them that they're good Christians, but they walk after the flesh. You ain't never met a Christian that ever walked after the flesh. Where do you get that kind of teaching? How in the name of reasoning could I walk after the flesh when the Bible said I'm not in the flesh? I'm not even in the flesh. I didn't have anything to do with it. God chose me out of the flesh. And another thing, am I in this world and someday I'm going to be raptured out of this world? To begin with, there ain't no such word as rapture in the Bible. You know that. Somebody just running around, don't know what they're talking about. Well, let me say this. Am I in this world and someday I'm going to be raptured out of this world? I'm not either. Praise God. Sound like we got a Bible scholar. I'm done raptured. That's right. If you want to use the word rapture, we'll just put it in there and we'll use it that way. Because it ain't there to begin with. But if you're going to say raptured, then that's, you know, rapture really means caught up. Caught up. Have you been caught up? Some of us, well, I don't know about that now. Well, the Bible said Paul said caught up. Caught up into the third heaven. He said, I don't know about the body. He said, I can't tell you about the body of the spirit, whether I was in it or out, but I was caught up. So then we said, caught up. And I said that to say this. Then I'm not waiting to be taken out of this world. I've already been chosen out of the world and taken out of the flesh. Now, another thing then, am I planning to go to heaven? Am I planning to go to heaven someday?
I'm already in heaven.
Let's give the Lord another hand. Hallelujah. Sound like somebody knows where they come from and where they're going and where they're at. The Bible said he has chosen us out of the flesh, hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. All right. Now, am I going into the kingdom of God someday? Or where am I at? If I'm not in the world, where am I at? The end of the world came, Peter said back yonder. You're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Now, where in the world am I at? He was speaking of them for the believer. And upon whom the others have come, in that they were dead in the sight of God, rotten. And the raven was pecking all of them. Where am I at? The Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, that it is at hand. And the prayer was, Father, thy will be done on earth now as it is in heaven, because thy kingdom is come. And pray this prayer. They said, teach us to pray. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So then, if the law and the prophets were until then, and then the kingdom of God comes, which is the fullness of time, then where am I? The Bible said, for God hath. Now this is already in the present tense, hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And the Jews were cast out because they looked for it by observation, like an intellectual Bible scholar, and great they were. And the kingdom of God, Jesus said, don't come by seeing. You're not going to see it. People today are still looking for it like that. Said, this is Christ within you, the hope of glory. That the kingdom of God is within you. And that it's breaking forth from within here as the illumination of that lamp or that bulb, as to the oil, as to the candles. And it's coming out to illuminate you. And that this great city of lively stones that Paul is preaching and building, that this great city will be on the new earth, not on the restored earth, that God is going to restore. And then the new earth will set down in that great, wonderful Christ in the third heaven. Here is going to be the wonderful, hallowed presence of the city, and many of them are just going to walk in the light of it because they don't know what you Bethlehemites know. Let's give him another hand. They've not found that out. That's why they criticize it. It's because the devil takes, like the moon, there's a cold side and a hot side, and the devil takes that side of them that's intellectual and makes them to think themselves to be something when they're nothing, vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, thinking they know something when they don't know something as they ought to know. And because of that, they criticize you and tear you up and just make a mushy mess to the eyes of the public out of what you are. But I can tell you that you're not a mushy mess. You're the sons of God. They've made the mushy mess, you know, because they wouldn't let us cut the pies and share it with them. And thinking they know something, they grabbed them a little chunk and they went with it. And they have made a conglomeration of a mess out there. But we are those that have come this far, beloved friend. We've come this far, and we could go on and go on and go on. So then we see that the whole transitional thing from the origin of the world is a faith by God. A transitional faith by God that started with God as Alpha, it ends with God as Omega. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with me. We're just here, and that's all there is to it. And we're waiting for the time of our redemption. And we can't even as much as repent and get salvation. Let's give him a hand. Somebody would say, well, prove that to me by the Bible. I've said it a lot of times. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears and found no place of repentance because Jacob had already got the birthright and gone. His repentance wasn't worth 15 cents. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So then you say, well, you don't think that we need to repent? The Bible said, repent every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and your children, unto as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You don't think we're going to go through a change? The Bible said, comfort them with these words. In Thessalonians, you'll be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Caught up to be with God, and so shall ye ever be with Christ. But ye shall not exceed the dead in Christ, for they shall rise first. We which were alive and remain shall be changed. Brethren, that's not what we're talking about. That's true, all that scripture. But see, why should I mess with the flesh when the flesh profiteth nothing? It's dead, it's buried, it's gone in a watery grave. I am a son of God. I've made this transitional change. I am here. Why should I worry with them things out yonder? I could never preach. I could never do anything for God. I'd be too worried about whether I was good enough or what I've done or what I haven't done. I must be about my Father's business. I have things to do. Meat to eat that you know not of, but they that overcome shall eat of the hidden manna. Many people will hear me say this and hear you say this and never get this. Because having eyes they see not, they hear Jesus speak. He said, having eyes you don't see. You've never seen his image at any time. And he said, having ears you don't hear. So they don't hear, yet they do hear as to the natural sound of the oral expressions. And they hear as to the world and the vain jangles of the world, but they don't hear a thing the Spirit is saying to the church. But he that hath an ear, the Bible said it can only be given to you by God. You can only receive it of God. No one can receive anything save it be given him of God. All right, so the bond's child is theirs to the intellectual, and the other child is to the life of freedom. My words are life. I want you to stand with me.
And I want you to think on this morning. It's getting a little bit chill in here. You can fire up the heaters and remember, everything is moving toward the change. We've spoke of the day and the time and season as to when these things will be moving in. You've got a job to do to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to be about your Father's business. I have a commission. You have a commission. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. For God has made these things revelation to babes such as are willing to learn. And be patient, loving, and kind to others. Esteem others better than yourself. Look on the things of another. Seek another's welfare. Let's not run to and fro as one that beateth the air. As to the Jews, are ye so foolish? The Galatians. I introduced something spiritual to you. I told you of a spiritual salvation. I told you of a spiritual awakening. I told you of a spiritual righteousness. I told you of a spiritual God. I introduced you to a spiritual Christ. I told you of a spiritual Jew, even the true Israel of God. And a work that was to be done in secret. Stolen away as thieves in the night would come to take the jewels. I told you. Paul said, I come to bring you a spiritual revelation, even the revelation of Jesus Christ. Are you Galatians so foolish that you're going through the ritualistics, as we would say in our day, of counting beads, doing your rosary, going back to your Pentecostal, trying to get to heaven by doing good? Or your experience as saying because you speak in tongues, you got salvation? It's like I told a man one time. I said, do you actually believe that a man has to speak in tongues to have God? Well, in some of the world, the Trinity world especially, they say you really don't have to. That you can have God be a believer. You can have God, you know, and they got two or three different ways that they introduce it to you, and you can have God that way. But I don't understand that, because when a child is born, it is a still birth unless the spirit of life is in him. And Jesus said, without my spirit, you're none of mine. And the only spirit of Christ I know of is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. I don't know of a ghost that was ever holy outside of his. Do you, Brother Thomas? His, the only one I ever knew of, it was holy. And so then it was holy because it was fully given to the Father without spot, without blemish. Not in measure, but fully. And I understand that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. If you believe, the Bible said you do well, that's fine, you know. I'm not against believers, but said if you believe, the devils believe also and they tremble. But you got to know that that won't get you in. That won't get you in. It takes the infilling of the Holy Ghost. You must have the Holy Ghost. And if you teach that having the Holy Ghost to speak in tongues is the only way that you can have the Holy Ghost, then that means that you are preaching salvation by tongues. You are preaching salvation by tongues. That's what you're preaching. Because you're preaching that you can't have salvation unless you speak in tongues. Because it's for sure that you can't have God without having His Spirit. How many of you agree to that? So I told the man, I said, what you're preaching is salvation by tongues. I said, me and you are altogether different. I'm preaching salvation by faith. And that by the faith of Jesus Christ by which we're sanctified. Well, the man didn't know how to answer me. He left off with his conversation. So I believe that we should be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. If you are a believer, that's great, folks. But you need to be filled with the Spirit. That's the only way to please God. And if you're not filled with the Spirit, it's evident that you're not in those places that Brother Thomas was speaking of. You're not in heaven. You're not in the kingdom of God. Because it is only when the kingdom of God comes within you as to the Spirit that you find your spirit translated into His Spirit. which is heaven, which is the kingdom of God, and which is the great spiritual world. Paul said, are you so foolish, having begun the Spirit, as to the Spirit of Christ, you've now gone through your ritualistics to be made perfect. To be made perfect by the flesh. Well, I don't want to do that. He said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. If the grace of God come by the law, then Jesus Christ died in vain. So I see it by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, even the Son of God. And being by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, even the Son of God, then you are partakers in his fullness. You are his precious children. And you are illuminated as you dwell in that glory as to the light of the world, the light of this latter house. And ye are a greater light than that of the veil, the former house, that light having no glory by this glory that excelleth. Therefore the veil being rent in twain at Calvary, ye are the light of the world. And we're not looking through a glass darkly beholding his face as they did, but with great understanding we are seeing him face to face, for we see him as he is, even the great light unto which no man can approach except you as the body that dwell in that light. They can't get near this light because light and darkness hath no fellowship. Darkness coming close to light, light eradicates darkness. And that's what's going to happen. Christ is beginning to reveal himself from within you, saying, I will make all the world come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. Suddenly returning into his temple to be glorified within his saints, and he's beginning to break forth. And with this magnificence of this great understanding of God, of you that will excel all the world, even the greatest scholars of the world, it will cause darkness as to their intellectual genius to fade into nothing. And you'll swallow them up with the brightness until finally at last the great Ancient of Days that sits upon the throne will come, and even the earth and the heavens will pass away. Every body, everything will pass away. And you alone and he alone will be there as the great light, as the body that dwelleth within the light. So we walk in the light. Let's sing the little song, can we? We'll walk in the light, that beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of... Can you sing that with me? Let us walk in the light, that beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Church, you're the light of... Sing it again, can you? Do you feel bright and brilliant? I'll walk in the light, that beautiful light. I'll walk where the dewdrops of his mercy it's bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. For church you the light of... Can you sing this with me? Don't you feel good? I dwell in the light, that beautiful light. I dwell where the dewdrops of his mercy so bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. For Jesus, we're the light of... Can you say that? For Jesus, we're Can you sing it one more time with me? Do you feel like you're a child of light? Let me see your hand. Is that light illuminating you as it comes forth from within? Is it illuminating you? If you've got it on the inside, it'll come forth from within. My, it'll make you feel so good. I feel so good, I tell you. I feel this Holy Ghost on the inside of me. Woo, I feel this Holy Ghost, Brother Taylor, on the inside of me. And I can feel this light literally running over. My cup runneth over. Can you sing that with me again? We'll walk in. The altars are open. That beautiful light, where the dewdrop of mercy is bright. All around us by day and... Can you come to the altar this morning? Great, mighty things are taking place, children of light. You're not waiting to become the children of light. We'll walk in the light, that beautiful light. We'll walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around me by day and by night. Jesus, you're the light of the world. And that light of Moses in Moses' day had no light by reason of this great light. The lesser light had no light by reason of this great light. The greater light. Even the church, the unveiled body of Jesus Christ. The veil has been rent in twain, and the body is unveiled. Oh, someone would say, no, Brother Pike. Yes, it's unveiled. He rent the veil at Calvary, and he laid my veil away. He took that old veil that was under the law of sin and death. He folded it up, and he laid it away. And today, I'm the unveiled Christ. So we stand as the unveiled Christ. Can you lift your hands? That great, mighty light, you're the unveiled Christ. Members in particular, the great unveiled. That's why this light will shine to the ends of the world. The veil has been rent in twain. Brother Taylor sings that song, and he rent the veil in two. He rent the veil in two. Let angels bow down before him because he rent the veil in two. You love the Lord? God is so good. Isn't God good? Unveiled. What kind of light is it? The Bible said it will outshine the brightness of the noonday sun. Unveiled. That veil of sin and death, that old intellectual veil of sin and death, of sorrow and of heartaches. It's folded up and it's gone. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, I have a lot of trouble with it. Well, if you'll just stay away from the graveyard, don't be a grave robber, you won't have any problem. Leave it buried. Leave it out there. Don't go back messing with it. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, the reason I go back, there's a watch on that arm and it was a ring on that finger. And they buried that stuff out there with them. But I don't want to be a grave robber, do you? I like that song that we sing. I don't need your gold and silver. Can we sing that song before it is dismissed? Somebody looking back into Egypt. Let's sing that song. I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus. For to me, God's everything. I don't want your gold and silver, and I don't want no diamond ring. for to me. I'm not a grave robber. He's already give me everything. Songwriters do that. So I don't want your gold and silver, and we don't want your diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus for to me. God's everything, and this is like heaven to me. And this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and I'm shouting the victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith in what he's done for you. And this is like heaven. Daniel, sing with me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. We've crossed over Jordan, crossed over the old carnal mind of death and unbelief now, living in the mind of Christ. I'm shouting the victory. We're shouting the victory. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. Oh, this is like heaven to me. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven. Can you sing it one more time? We're shouting the victory. How have you got the victory? Let me see your hand. This is to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me. Can you lift your hands up and love him? We could sing and praise the Lord this morning. And just go on and on and on. But I know I've kept you quite a while, and I know you're hungry. You've been real good subjects, listened real well. And I praise God for every one of you. May the Lord bless you as you go on with the Lord. May the Lord bless you. I'm going to ask Brother Don from Canada to come up here. It's really something. Don is from Canada. I'm going to ask him to come and pray the closing prayer. Don was in line to be a chief over in Canada. Don also has to do with something that relates to us, relates to Canada, and relates to something that is taking place. You love the Lord. While he comes to pray, always seeing spiritual things take place, we're always moved by these wonderful, great things that God does. As Don comes to pray, let's just lift up our hands and let's close our eyes. And let's worship the Lord this morning, Brother Don.